the A to Z Sports Big Orange Podcast. I am Charlie Burris. That is Zach Raven. Wherever you listen throughout the world, we thank you so much for listening to us. Zach and I talk everything balls every week here on the Big Orange Podcast. If that's something that you want to listen to on the reg, go over to the A to Z Sports Podcast Network feed on Apple and Spotify. When you get there, rate, review, but most importantly, subscribe. If you do subscribe, you won't miss our shows when we drop them on Mondays. And speaking of Mondays, it is one right now at 6 p.m. Eastern time because of the national championship game at 7:30. We wanted to do this early so that we're not competing against, you know, probably the most watched college football game of the year. But usually 7 p.m. Eastern time on Mondays. And we are live on A to Z Sports Nashville's YouTube channel. So go there, search of A to Z Sports Nashville on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. If you do, you'll be notified when we go live. And then you can hang out, come be a part of the show, leave a comment, and literally just chill here with me and Zach and be a part of the show. It's really great. We love going back and forth with everybody, so subscribe there. At Charlie underscore Burris, at Zach TNT, at A to Z Sports, Facebook.com/A to Z Sports Nashville, and A to Z Sports.com for all the stuff that Zach writes on the internet. Should I do that thing? I think Boogie Bentley does that, our buddy Boogie, who we might be on again with here soon. Been talking to him. He does welcome back to Talking Balls Network. Maybe I'll just steal his intro there. Well, welcome back to Talking Balls. This is Talking Balls with Charlie and Zach. What's up, Zach?
Get us a cease and desist letter here in the mail. Keep that up.
Yeah. He'll be cool with it.
Yeah, but pretty much just getting geared up for this college championship game tonight. It's we were talking before we came on. It's kind of an interesting game. No Georgia, no Alabama. I don't really have any rooting interest in this game as far as who I want to win. It really doesn't matter to me either way. I guess kind of I would prefer Washington maybe, but it's not like I'm going to be upset if Michigan wins this game. In fact, like we've talked about before, it'd be kind of funny if they did, considering all that went on and that Jim Harbaugh was suspended for half the season at various points. But so a little low-stress championship game. I just hope it's fun. I hope it's not a blowout. I hope it comes down to the end and we can see some good football tonight. Just the playoff, for once, both games were entertaining. You know, in previous years, some of those playoff games have been unwatchable. So they were good games to watch. Hopefully we get more of the same tonight.
I'm genuinely just rooting for the chaos. This is the most dispassionate I've probably been about a national championship game since I don't even know, because normally there's another SEC team in there and I'm just going, anybody but Bama. But Georgia, please, dear God, do not let these guys win another national championship. Nothing like that. And I don't care if Michigan wins. A lot of people are acting like they're going to be really mad. I really don't care one way or another if Michigan wins. I am no Ohio State fan. I don't care about Michigan, really.
Once Bama and Georgia were out of the, you know, Georgia didn't make the playoff and Bama didn't beat by Michigan. Once that happened, it was good for Tennessee. You know, any non-SEC team winning is good for Tennessee. And you know, like, the top recruit in the country, Bryce Underwood, just committed to LSU. Number one quarterback, number one player in the 2025 class. He's from Michigan, so it's not like, and he committed to LSU, it's not like they have this stronghold on recruiting and it's gonna just get even crazier by winning a championship like it did with Georgia and Alabama. So And Tennessee doesn't recruit a lot up there anyway, so I don't see any of that really impacting the Vols too much either way.
Thank God. Anything like that helps. And I think you've seen slowly that, this is a conversation that we could probably have in full as a segment on this show, but I think you've really seen that NIL and the transfer portal have kind of siphoned off some of the depth of those really elite teams. I think you really see it with Alabama. I mean, getting pushed around against Michigan legitimately. I mean, that offensive line got rocked that entire game. And I think you're finally seeing some actual parity there, which is really nice. I mean, praise be on high. That is like, just let the stranglehold of these, you know, uber elite teams on college football stop, because it's just so much more entertaining when you get more teams involved. So, and specifically when you get the Tennessee Volunteers involved, that's what we really need. And speaking of the Tennessee Volunteers, we're going to talk about them here. It might be a little bit of a shorter night tonight, just because we probably want to get off here by like 7-ish. But the transfer portal is really the big talk this week. Everybody's freaking out. Oh, the Heupel can't recruit anymore. They're never going to get another offensive lineman. We're going to be starting Dane Davis, that right tackle next year. Oh, God. Is that real? Look, and I'm making a silly voice there. But the reality is that they have not not landed offensive linemen out, specifically out of the transfer portal. We're going to talk about if that's not, you know, how bad that might really be, and where we stand on some of those transfer portal guys. And then also there was an article this week in 24/7 saying that Tennessee is on the short list of teams that could win or compete for a national championship in short order. We're going to talk about all of that and much more tonight on the show, but let's jump into the transfer portal stuff first, right after I tell you about Farm Bureau Health Plans. Farm Bureau Health Plans has been serving Tennesseans for over 75 years. Much has changed in Tennessee over the years, but some has stayed the same. Farm Bureau Health Plans has always valued personal relationships, especially when it comes to good health and good service. Plan on Farm Bureau Health Plans for health, dental, and vision. For better coverage, better rates, and better service, go to fbhp.com/ATOZ or walk into one of their 200-plus locations across the state. That is fbhp.com/ATOZ. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Go get yourself a health plan. Thanks to them. All righty. So the news that really came out was this two things. The offensive line transfer from Kansas that Tennessee whiffed on. He ended up committing to Texas A&M. And then you have Lance Hurd from LSU, who's still in the mix. Maybe a little bit more for Tennessee. Maybe not. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I think the thing that has become the overriding narrative with Tennessee fans this week is that why are we not landing these guys? Why are they not coming to Tennessee? And I think you've seen a number of narratives. I think there's been rumors that, you know, Glenn Ellerbe is not the world's best recruiter, that he's maybe not, you know, Mr. Charisma, which what offensive line coach is, I guess you start there. Sam Pittman maybe, but otherwise that, you know, there's that. I saw, folks were saying that some of the big money guys were kind of pushing Heupel on maybe even like getting rid of Glenn Ellerbe for this particular reason. The validity to that, I think, cannot be substantiated. Who knows if that's really true, but you've seen it as rumors flying around. And then, of course, I mean, you have sort of the proof in the pudding of Tennessee potentially whiffing on these guys. But I'll start here, Zach. Just initially, are you in panic mode? Is the sky falling? There's going to be nobody to block for Nico next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely an issue that's got to get a solution quickly. But, you know, we're not through the whole process yet. So it's hard to really judge the entire situation just yet. You know, Gerald Mincy going into the portal when he did because of the second transfer rule where he was allowed to do that, basically, which I think that's a terrible rule for college football. I get the one-time transfer. Yeah, I was for that way before it became a thing. It was always so annoying to see coaches be able to leave and go as they please, and then players get stuck or have to sit out or go through these waivers. That's fine, but doing it twice, you've made a tough situation even worse now. You've basically let players get free agency twice, three times if you count coming out of high school. It's almost impossible now to manage your roster. And then you get in this situation where you've basically got to have your offensive line pretty much set going into the offseason, or there's complete panic, because guys that transfer in, you're paying them a lot of money, presumably with these NIL deals. They want kind of a guaranteed starting spot, or at least first dibs at that starting spot. It robs you of some competition that you would normally have in those situations. It robs you of maybe Bennett Warren, a signee for Tennessee that's highly touted. Every now and then you have a true freshman that can come in and play offensive line. It doesn't happen a lot. It's tough in this offense, especially the way Tennessee's unique up-tempo offense runs. But it can happen. You know, we've seen it in the past. We've certainly seen it at other programs. It's tough. So now Tennessee's got to go find a guy with Mincy gone. And, you know, you got one guy that chose to kind of stay closer to home in Texas. You're hoping that you hit on this LSU kid, heard that, you know, maybe Ole Miss is in the mix there out there. I think I've heard that he's not visiting Ole Miss now as planned. So maybe that's good. I think Oklahoma, though, is still a factor there. And if you miss on him, then where do you go? As a kid from Mississippi State, do you turn there? Do you wait on this Michigan and Washington game to complete, because they've got 5 days after the championship game tonight where players from there can enter the portal? Is there anyone there that you're looking at? But whatever the case, you want to get it done before spring practice. Like, you want to get somebody in for spring practice, especially if you're going to count on them to be your right tackle during the season, because there's always the possibility that you can add someone after spring practice. There's another portal window that opens after spring practice, and that could be very fruitful for Tennessee. It was last year. I think that's when, like, Omar Norman Lott and some other guys, when they ended up landing those guys, there will be things that shake out during spring practice where guys choose to hit the portal. But in a you know, best case scenario, you want those guys for spring practice so you can kind of get them into this offense and get them gelling with the system and everything they got to learn to be a starter in the SEC at Tennessee at right tackle. And, you know, you got left guard too, that's kind of unsettled. It's tough, but Tennessee is not the only program going through this right now. It's this musical chair deal that pretty much every offseason you're going to have to secure your offensive line moving forward. And that, a lot of times, that'll be retaining the players that you have, like Tennessee did with several spots this year with John Campbell, Cooper Mays. I mean, what kind of shape would they be in if Cooper Mays doesn't come back, if John Campbell doesn't come back, if Javonte Spradlin, so I don't know if that's official or not, that he's coming back, but looks like he will be. I mean, it's going to be a yearly thing pretty much at this point.
For sure. Offensive line is maybe a little different than some other positions on the field. At least in my opinion, it's kind of one where you definitely primarily you want young guys that can develop and have time in your system and really come up that way and be a cohesive group that knows each other and obviously is talented, but develops and gets better at college football. But in reality, that's not the simple way that this plays out in college football these days. You have to have these transfers while those guys are coming up. And Tennessee has, it appears, some pretty decent offensive linemen coming up from the high school ranks. But you do, with your current setup as it is now, you have to have these guys from the transfer portal. You have to. Would it be absolutely ideal to let these young dudes fill in these spots and do these things? Yes. But, I mean, essentially at this point, none of them have played, even the guys that are going to be sophomores, none of them have really played any meaningful amount of time in college football. And so you got to bring in a guy who has, especially like right tackle spot. And it really is just incumbent upon you. And especially, and here's the biggest thing for Tennessee that you got to bring up, especially with Nico in the backfield. Oh my gosh. Cause I think you're seeing, and you're going to see a ton of this talk during this offseason, Tennessee has potentially, obviously it has to bear itself out, but potentially has a generational talent with Nico Iamaleava. And I would say, you know, and even if you don't want to say generational talent, maybe a guy that could potentially win a Heisman for you. And if you put the right pieces around him, could potentially make a run to the college football playoff and in the college football playoff. You know, you have a real window that's opening and you got to take advantage, and having no offensive line is not the way to take advantage. It cannot happen. And so you got to have these guys that are going to fill in, because to sort of the point that a lot of people have been making, you know, like, what are we going to start Dane Davis over there? No, we're not. They're going to find, there's somebody out there. Maybe it is the kid from Mississippi State. Maybe they do, you know, throw down the bag for the kid from LSU. I don't know, because that one is still up in the air, as you said. But you have to. It now has to be this combo of young guys, old guys, transfer guys. It needs to be some of all of it. And it honestly, to me, I think Ellerbe has done an admirable job as the offensive line coach. You've seen the offensive line be really effective at times. And in this system, that's kind of odd compared to the way that offensive linemen operate in other systems. It honestly can be tough on an offensive lineman. You never get to sub out, essentially, if a drive goes the way that it should. You don't really get to sub out. And it can wear on you. And I just think that there's other elements in there than just, oh, well, maybe Glenn Ellerbe's not charismatic. Again, what offensive line coach is the most charismatic dude on earth? Maybe they're out there, but I haven't seen them, and I've interviewed a few of them in my time, you know, when I was in media Tennessee. They're not the guy that you go to as just like, oh, yeah, that's the guy that I want to hear from. No, I mean, he's there to coach the offensive line. He's not going to be the most interesting dude in the room a lot of the time. And so he might not be the most interesting, but he might be one of the most important by far, because this is the foundation of your offense, and it's the foundation of your offense in an odd offense. And Glenn Ellerbe, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say the coach on this staff that has been with Heupel the longest at this point. And so he knows this thing inside and out. I don't think firing him is probably the right move, unless it's just egregious, unless he's losing you recruits where, you know, you got a kid locked down and then they go, all right, bring in Glenn. And then the kid wants to decommit after meeting the coach. Unless it's a situation like that, and I don't think it is, then, I don't think you make that change there, but something's got to give. You got to get this kid from LSU. You got to get the kid from Mississippi State. You got to get somebody. Really, you need both of them. Realistically, you got to get somebody. That's just the bottom line. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's where we're at, because you have this window opening with Nico. It has to happen.
Yeah, Glenn Ellerbe is definitely not going anywhere anytime soon. It would, like you said, it would have to be just a complete meltdown. You can't get anybody to play offensive line, and the thing just goes all to pieces. I mean, ultimately, this is a team that's won 20 games over the last two seasons. You don't go fire the offensive line coach when he's got this kind of continuity with Heupel. He's very involved in the run game. You saw how impressive the run game was this season. Jerry Mack is owed a lot of credit there, the running backs coach, but Glenn Ellerbe is a huge part of that as well. And if you do, I mean, if you know, you say you're in this scenario where you do have to move on from Ellerbe, which, again, I don't foresee that happening in any way, you're going to hire somebody that has experience in this system. We've seen how Josh Heupel makes these hires, especially at the offensive line. That's such an important part of how this offense runs. It would be somebody like Alec Ablin, who's the tight ends coach now, moves over to coach offensive line. He was an offensive lineman, you know, under Heupel at Missouri. It would be a situation like that. It would be somebody that Heupel's coached with in the past in this offense. He thinks Glenn Ellerbe is the best option for this team right now. You just got to figure out a way to, I don't know. I don't know if it's the charisma part of it, if it's just the situation just hasn't worked out. Like we said, the one with the Kansas offensive lineman, it's okay. He wants to stay closer to home. Diego Pounds goes to Ole Miss. I don't know what Lane's got going on there with the portal, but he's selling something, and that, you know, that bill might come due eventually for Kiffin, because if that doesn't pan out this season for Kiffin, if he doesn't go win 11 or 12 games and get to the playoff, well, then you've pretty much banked on everything, you know, with this portal class. And if it all falls apart, you don't really have a recruiting class that you've built there. That's going to be a tough situation. You could see Lane bouncing. In fact, you know, if Harbaugh wins tonight and goes to the Chargers and Michigan goes after Brian Kelly, I think things could get interesting there with LSU and Lane Kiffin, because LSU is a far better situation and job than Ole Miss, especially for long-term sustainability, where you don't have to go portal hopping every single offseason. But that's a different conversation to begin with. Whatever's going on, you've got to figure out a way to start landing some of these guys. I mean, the NIL, it seems like it's there. And that's strong, and Tennessee's doing that the right way. Obviously, they're retaining guys. They didn't lose a James Pierce. They didn't lose, you know, some of these wide receivers that they wanted to keep. They managed to bring guys like Omari Thomas back. They managed to bring the John Campbells back and the Cooper Mays is back. So NIL is obviously doing its job there, which in my mind makes me think that it's also fine on the transfer side of things. You've got some coveted guys in with like Chris Brazel, a wide receiver. I don't know. It's something that you've got to just kind of get over the hump with some of these guys. It's the same thing we've seen in recruiting in recent years where Tennessee's there at the finish line, but they're just not the ones, you know, crossing the finish line first.
Yeah, I legitimately don't get it with Ole Miss. Because honestly, the whole Ole Miss thing a little bit kills off that whole like, oh, maybe I think didn't somebody say right here, Jason asked, is it our tempo killing us on O-line commits? Maybe. But I mean, look at Kiffin's offense. It's not that crazily different. I mean, he runs this tempo offense. It's not exactly the same. It's not as intense as Heupel's, but it's not crazily different. And he just got a guy that Tennessee, I want to say at least had talked to, the kid from North Carolina. Pounds didn't visit. I haven't kept up.
No,
a ton with, yeah. So no. That's not entirely surprising, but it was somebody that Tennessee could have used. Let's say that. But I don't totally understand what's going on there, but I will also say this. It's not all hunky dory with Ole Miss because they're about to lose to Mary McDonald's. Pat says it here in the comments and the Vol fan for life. I was talking about it too. They're about to lose to Mary McDonald to Louisville, likely. It's been predicted by Pete Nakos at On Three. And then you also look at that. Wesley Walker's already at Louisville. And Wesley Walker, you said, is he stepbrothers? We were talking about this before the show.
Pretty sure that's the relation.
Stepbrothers with Tyler Barron. And if Barron hops out to Louisville, that would be brutal for Ole Miss. Because I think that Barron get was definitely one they were hanging their hat on. And for them, I think that is a pretty decent get, even though I'm not sure that Tennessee is horribly downgrading there or anything like that, because there are really nice defensive linemen coming up for them, thankfully.
I want to see how the Ole Miss folks spin that, because Tyler Barron was this huge addition, future NFL player. And look, Tyler Barron's a good player. We talked about it before, like, look, we got other guys too, right? Like Tennessee's that's their philosophy. It's like, we got other guys that can fill this. We're not going to pay him all this when he's done this so many times before. You losing to Louisville, you know, that'll be interesting to hear the spin cycle on that one.
I saw some Ole Miss fans with the post about Tamari McDonald. They were just like, we didn't want him anyway. He's not that good. He never would have started here. Now he wants to jump ship, blah, 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 blah. That's not what you were saying, 2 weeks ago? That's not really the line you were taking back then.
And honestly, that take is probably the right take.
It probably is true.
I mean, how many times did we get frustrated? McDonald would do something good, then something frustrating. I guess that's the story with most defensive backs, if we're being honest. But, I guess everybody kind of feels that way when you land the transfer, that you're getting one over on somebody.
Well, Elias really says the whole truth here, the foundational truth here in the comments. He said, I don't think anyone's going to fully understand what's going on for years with NIL in the portal. I'm eagerly anticipating a 30 for 30 episode in 2028.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think coaches even understand fully because they're trying to get information and they're, you know, like, what's going on here? What's real? What's not? Like, nobody knows what numbers are real necessarily. Nobody knows what's happening. I mean, you hear these rumors that Tennessee had, you know, players on their team that didn't leave, that never entered the portal, that got serious offers. And it's like, theoretically, you can't. You're not in the portal. You can't. Like, it's tampering. At what point is that going to get cracked down on? How much of that is really happening? And we know it is. Like, we've seen some of it up close, that hasn't really come to fruition with certain players and things. But it will be interesting because eventually a lot of that is going to get revealed. People will talk more and more the crazier this gets, because it's not sustainable right now.
No, it's not at all. And there's no... We've said it a bunch on this show. There's no market transparency. And you got to think, like, a company like Spire, the main NIL partner for Tennessee, is floating in uncharted waters, just like every other NIL. But they, I mean, I would bet that behind closed doors, they're probably looking at Ole Miss going like, what the hell are they doing? How are they doing this? And like, that's not a knock on Spire. I just bet that's the environment that everybody's operating in right now. I bet Nick Saban is down there looking and going, what is that guy doing? How is he doing this? How is he in on every single one of these guys? How is he in on every single one of these guys before they ever decommit or enter the transfer portal? And how is he getting them all? And like, that's, it's a perplexing thing for everybody. And obviously maybe that facade's about to come off if Barron and Tamari McDonald both jump out of there. But like, it is just this massive gray area, this crazy, just, you know, abyss that everybody's just jumping out into. And we don't really know what all, and it's going to be all these market effects and all these different things that have to happen. And honestly, what should really happen is that you just need to create semi-pro football. That's what it needs to be. It needs to be players actually getting paid. It needs to be a transparent market. You need to know what guys are actually making, because that's it. It has to actually get ironed out. It has to be like the NFL, where you know what these guys' contracts are worth, where you can go like, oh, well, the last time a running back came up, he got paid, you know, $250,000, and he produced this much, and he was this good, and meant this to this team. And then you can look at the next guy and say, okay, well, his worth is probably this much. And it just has to be something like that. Because even NFL teams play these games. You know, they get, oh, well, if you come to New York, not only will you get your paycheck, but we're going to hook you up with these big sponsors, because all these big companies that are in New York, and we can give you this and that. You're going to be living a lavish life and all of these things. Like, there are those add-ons too. And that would happen in college football. Obviously, if you did that, you would have teams still playing games like that. But there's no way around that at a certain point. But that just eventually has to happen. And the real solution is to just kill off the NCAA. Please, dear God, get rid of the NCAA. Throw them to the curb where they belong. Yeah. Soon enough.
The programs with money are always going. It's just like sports, right? I mean, unless you just have a, kind of like you said there, even when you have a salary cap, there's still things you can do to bring in a player to your organization. But ultimately, it's the uncertainty of being able to plan that I think is killing these coaches. It's got to be a situation where it's like, okay, you know, there's a cap on signing recruits, like what they can earn, maybe. I don't know how that would look. And then like 2-year contracts, basically. And that's, you know, then when a player commits out of high school that you have them for 2 years. And maybe there's some language written in there for red shirts and going pro and some of those unique situations. But you know you've at least got this guy for 2 years, and you can kind of plan to build your team around that. Like that, it's something like that has to happen. I don't know how that looks. Somebody's got way more time on their hands and is a lot smarter with contracts and all those situations, can figure that out. And I think eventually it will get to that. Just like I said, this is just not sustainable, but it's not, you can't do this every single year. You're going to have some serious burnout with these coaches. I mean, the whole month of December, I mean, there's a human element to it. It's a holiday season. It's Christmas. It's New Year's. You want to be with your family. And in the past, they have been able to some extent, even while you're preparing for a bowl game. And now you're practicing, you're flying on a plane to see a transfer player. You're dealing with your early signing period. You're still recruiting the 2025 class. I mean, Tennessee's got a 5-star recruit, George McIntyre, that's about to make a huge decision probably at the end of this month some point. You're still dealing with stuff like that. Like the 2025 cycle just basically starts immediately after the early signing period, really gets into full gear there. It's not a good way of life. They're making a lot of money to do it, but how – yeah, they're not even really getting to enjoy that at this point. And until they get fired like Jimbo Fisher, that's the guy right now that's sitting the best. He's smiling. I mean, did you see the interview with him that he did with Barstool Sports recently?
No.
He was smiling, the happiest guy. I mean, it was like the Ed Ogeron deal. They told him congrats on the buyout, and you should have seen the smile on his face.
Literally. Now, look, Kirby Smart's an absolute psycho. You can just tell. You know, he's a guy that's going to probably coach till he's in the grave. He'll die on a sideline. He's that kind of guy. But, like, realistically speaking, you know, I've seen people say, like, oh, well, Kirby Smart right now, his value is so high. why doesn't he just jump to an NFL job? He could get more money than he's getting paid right now if, you know, at worst, exactly the same money and just way less of a headache. It would be way easier of a job. And I go, you know what he should do? Is just lose. it's just get fired. And then he can go do nothing and get paid what he's getting paid right now. Probably, in the case of Jimbo Fisher, get paid even more than he was getting paid at the time. Far more. Just lose. And then you're set for the rest of your life. I mean, what? Lord knows what his buyout is at this point. Smart, specifically. And that it is just, I kind of say that just like I said, I think he's a psycho who's going to coach till he's dead in the grave. But that really is like the incentives that are becoming at work now for the players, for the coaches, for everything. It's an unsustainable landscape. That's really the bottom line. And how do you win in it? You know, to go back to hypo, I do not know. I don't know.
Pat brings up the only real option is to move the portal to May and June because of class schedules. That is the only other option because you can't have a portal in the middle of a semester. But then these coaches, it's so competitive. It's so cutthroat. Like, you've got to go win. You've got to go perform. And that means having these dudes on campus or as many of them as possible for spring practice. So coaches still want that. And it's like you're gonna have to give that up if you want to ease the burden here at all. I think that's the best solution. I agree with Pat. I think that is absolutely the way it probably should be. If you really want to just kind of level this out and then put this in the summer when it's not nearly as chaotic and you can kind of figure it out then, that's the best solution. But I, you know, and maybe if everyone agrees to that and everybody's on the same playing field, coaches will be okay with it. But you're gonna have guys that just leave school and they still talk to other programs and they basically have deals in place. They just won't be able to go through spring practice in that situation.
It honestly feels likely to me that it's going to be something like that because you just, as I said, it's unsustainable. And what do you prescribe for this problem? I do not know. With all of that being said, Tennessee still has a chance with Lance Hurd. You get him. I don't know that you're fine. You probably need another guy. You probably do need another guy. In addition to Lance Hurd, just for good measure, and maybe the kid from Mississippi State could be that or whatever. And obviously everything that I'm saying right now could be completely irrelevant, honestly, by the end of tonight. I don't who really knows. But that would be great if they could knock out Hurd and maybe somebody additional. But if they whiff on all of them, yeah, there is a big question there. I'm not ready to sail anybody down the river. You have another round of transfers coming up, obviously after spring ball, as we're already talking about here. And, you know, who knows who's going to come up then, and you have opportunities then. So I'm not writing anything off. I'm not one to, at this point, be like, Hypel, it's over. We're not, like, you know, they're going to be starting Dane Davis. And Nico's going to get his skull beat in every game. I'm not there. I just am not. When it comes to this, you're not gonna get me there. But I do think you got it. Let's get somebody. Hello, somebody. You gotta get somebody in the door. We'll see and we'll talk about it. I would assume, as I said, all of that talk right there is probably gonna be irrelevant within the next couple of days. But we'll see what happens. Now, kind of on that same note, and to something that I said earlier, it really is imperative to get the strongest roster that you can in these next 2 years because of the one and only Nico Iamaliava that you have behind center. And if he is as good as it appears he could be in time, you may have a window here to be in the playoff, to compete for a national championship, to compete for an SEC championship, yada, yada. We've heard it. But 247... actually wrote about, and I sent it to you, Zach, that Tennessee may be one of the teams that is in sort of the catbird seat to be next man up and take advantage of the 12-team playoff. We'll talk about what they said right after I tell you about our next great sponsor, BetterHelp. There's their banner right there. Not going to mess it up this week. If you're a Tennessee fan, like myself and Zach. You know how many years the Big Orange have shaved off your life with the emotional roller coaster of college sports? Or maybe the roller coaster of life is messing with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals. Regardless, if you have a clinical mental health issue like depression or anxiety, or if you're just a human being going through a hard time, therapy can give you the tools to approach your life in a different way. And that is where our sponsor BetterHelp comes into play. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible. And this is an important mission because finding a therapist can be hard, especially when you're limited to just the options in your area. BetterHelp's platform makes finding a therapist easier because it is online and remote, and BetterHelp can match you to a professional therapist in as little as a few days. Plus, with our link, betterhelp.com/ATOZ sports, you get 10% off your first month. See a therapist because maintaining your mental health is just as important as maintaining your physical health. So this football season, check out betterhelp.com/ATOZ sports and save 10% on your first month. That is BetterHelp. Shout out to them. Now, 247 Sports, I gotta pull up exactly what it was that I sent you, Zach. Oh, I opened up the wrong conversation in my texts. Here it is right here. College football's next Washington. 2024 candidates that are ripe with national championship potential, from Brad Crawford at 247 Sports. And lo and behold, Tennessee is on the list for him. He also lists, let's just go through, Missouri, Arizona, which I really like that Arizona team. They're cool. He lists Ole Miss, go figure, Oregon, and then the Tennessee Volunteers. So here's the deal with this conversation for me, because it ties into what we were just talking about. You got to get these dudes. You got to take advantage of this window that you have. You have national media members that believe that Tennessee is close with how Heupel coaches and how he can kind of get a team to play above its talent level in a lot of ways. I think the potential is there. I agree with Brad Crawford here. I don't want to put undue pressure on anybody. Heupel, Nico, anything like that. But let's be realistic here. I think this is a real conversation that needs to be had because I think this is correct. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the expectation at this point. Fair or not, when you get a five-star quarterback that's number one quarterback in the country in his recruiting class, and he's going into redshirt freshman, sophomore year, that's going to be the expectation, you know, for any program. If you have that guy, I think it's the same for Oklahoma, you know, moving into next season. They're in the same situation with Jackson Arnold. I think if Arch Manning ends up starting at Texas next year, depending on what happens with Quinn Ewers, I know they were just in the playoff, but that's still going to be the expectation for him, you know, going into the same year for him, his redshirt freshman season. So I think I don't think at this point it's unneeded or unfair pressure to put on somebody like Nico. I know it's a lot to put on his shoulders because he would be the first, you know, Tennessee quarterback to ever lead the Vols to the playoff. That's a lot when, you know, to put on a kid when it hasn't happened and when Tennessee's been down for so long. But I think it's more than fair when you're paying that type of money. That's what you're paying for. And based on the hype that he's going to get this offseason after what we saw in the bowl game against a really good Iowa defense, he played really well. Could have been even better in that final stat line if not for a couple of drops and Ramel Keaton not you know, stopping on that route. Had a banged up offensive line. Obviously, that goes into the conversation from earlier. Going to have more weapons at wide receiver. The defense was good enough. I know there's been, like, we've talked about that ad nauseum, it feels like, with the defense. But it's the best defense we've seen at Tennessee since 2015 when John Janzik was here. They averaged, you know, gave up 20 points a game. That's good enough. You know, it was top 25 in the country. Washington's defense this season is, like, what, number 54, it's somewhere in that range. They're the number 10 scoring offense. Like, it's doable. Like, it's good enough, even in the SEC, if you can get the offense back to where it was, you know, when Hendon Hooker was here in 2022, and the defense played really, they don't have to take a huge step forward. They got to take situational, you know, they got to do better on third downs and some of these third and 12s. You can't give up first downs in those situations. You can't play these soft zone coverages where you're still scared to death to get beat over the top, but you're willing to just let a team go march down the field. Like, you're going to have to be aggressive and play some man coverage in some of those situations. And sometimes you'll get beat. I mean, there's good players on the other side of the ball too. That's going to happen. But outside of that, I think it's all there roster wise for Tennessee to be in that conversation. They should make the playoff. If you get in the playoff, I mean, it's going to be tough to knock off a Georgia because they have more talent than you still. Like, we've done the roster breakdowns. We've seen how many more five-stars they have than you. But even then, you know, they can be beat on that given night. You're going to put you just want to put yourself in a position to be there to have a chance. And you get in that 12-team playoff like Tennessee should, you know, they're going to have that chance.
I agree. I just am... Again, I almost feel guilty for having expectations like that, but I really do. You know, I agree with Lias in the comments here. He said, I'll be disappointed if we aren't in next season with this schedule. You look at the schedule that Tennessee has, and it is not unrealistic to be like, you finish this schedule as one of the top 12 teams in America. It's kind of like in college basketball, where you go, you know, if you miss being one of the top 64 teams, we need to have a talk, because it's tough to make the tournament. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it's not, you know, it's kind of the bare minimum in college basketball. Now, this is different. It's 12 teams. It's not going to be the bare minimum, but it's now considerably easier than it was to get into the playoff, and your chances of making it to a real championship level here go up exponentially, frankly. And I think NIL is helping you with that. Again, to what I was saying earlier, where it's kind of creating more parity and taking depth away from these elite teams. I think you're going to continue to get a more level playing field overall. And then also now you have the 12-team playoff, and you just have to look at the situation that Tennessee is in and go, this is a team that should play in the playoff. And, you know, maybe we see them next year and the whole season pans out and we just go, you know, the talent's not there and they just stink. But right now, it does not look that way. And I think this is a real expectation that should probably be had. I mean, honestly, I think the one that would be way tougher is the SEC championship game, except now. So if you had the season that you had last year, the 11-2 season, you would have made the SEC championship game there. LSU would not have made it in. Tennessee was the number two team in the SEC that year. They would have played Georgia in the SEC championship game and had a shot that if you beat Georgia, you would have made the playoff. And so that also changes. And so just in general, your chances of making championship games go up exponentially, and just your chance of making playoff games, you know, that's part of a championship series, not necessarily a championship game, but all of those chances go up. And so I just think I cannot let anybody off the hook here with the current setup and just say like, oh no, it's okay. If you don't get those guys, we got dudes in the port. No. And this was the comparison that I made. I think I might've made this comparison with Crompton or maybe with you, Zach, but it's kind of like the Titans with Derrick Henry. You saw that window open up and you went, now is the time. Mortgage the house, boys. We need to win a Super Bowl. Now is the time. And they didn't do that, and lo and behold, there's Mike Vrabel's probably about to get traded to the Patriots or something. I don't know what's about to happen there, but they blew it. They blew it sky high. And you look at this situation, and we don't know for certain. I think this will be even more imperative next year, next offseason, after we see really how good Nico is after a full season. But you can see it now, and you go, good wide receivers, good running backs, really solid defensive line, and all of these things combined together, and you go, now's the time. Mortgage the house. It's time to do this.
Yeah, it's year four. I mean, you're going into year four, and that's not a criticism of Josh Heupel by any means, but it's like, okay, year two, you took us to the heights just about. Year three, we understand the situation. Fans that, I mean, diehard fans, they know. It might have been frustrating, but we understand what happened this past season and what the deal was. It's year four, it's year five. This is where you get into that Butch territory, and I'm not comparing Heupel to Butch by any means, but this is where it went south for Butch, right? Because yeah, that was when he could not take that big step forward. And when he couldn't, he was out the door. Things fell apart very quickly after that 2016 season when it all fell apart. This is, you know, this is a lot of talent that Heupel's going to have, just like that 2016 team. You can't have 9-4 in year four with this team. You just can't. And not that I think that's going to be what happens, but as much as I love Josh Heupel and think he's the right guy for the job, even after this 9-4 season, I still think he is way beyond anything I ever thought he could be at Tennessee. I think he's a perfect fit. I love the way he handles things, his personality. I think he's perfect for Tennessee. You got to go win 11, 12, 13 games. Like, you just have to.
Florida's at home. Alabama's at home. NC State, you're out of conference. You're big out of conference. Arkansas, possibly the worst. Well, Vandy's still playing. But one of the worst teams in the SEC this coming season is your cross-divisional. Well, I guess it's not even cross-divisional now, but essentially your cross-divisional opponent next year. You don't have to play Missouri. You know, there's all of these things with this schedule that are incredibly favorable for Tennessee coming up. And I don't want to say that there's no excuse at all. If Nico goes down and gets hurt, that's an excuse. That would be valid.
Cooper Mays goes out for the season.
Cooper Mays.
Then the conversation goes to why can Tennessee not develop another center? Because like after this season, like, there's no more Cooper Mays. You got to figure that deal out. You couldn't figure it out when he was injured the early part of the season. You got to go develop another center somehow.
You have to. I mean, Scott asked here in the comments, said, do you think that any true freshman offensive lineman can play right away in the coming year?
I haven't seen it.
I would say your guess is as good as mine. I hope so.
I mean, we kind of mentioned earlier, you see it at some other programs. You would think a Bennett Warren would be able to. There's the physical aspect of it, and then there's the learning this offense aspect of it. So it just depends really how quickly a kid can pick up on it. You know, if he's a really bright kid, and he seems to be, maybe he can, but they're not going to go into the season counting on a true freshman to start, especially one of the tackle positions. Maybe something happens at left guard. That's another one that's kind of up in the air. Who knows what happens there? We haven't seen it yet in this offense.
Yeah, I hope Karich can be the guy there, but again, you haven't
seen it. It was tough to get a read on him too. He was hurt most of the season. I think he ended up being able to redshirt because of how limited he was this past season. So you really, really don't know what you have there. Maybe he ends up being a bright.
No.
I saw something in the portal when they grabbed him last year.
Yeah, but even like I think Ben, honestly, he kind of, I don't know if he's making a counterpoint or a point for us, but I think this makes a point for us. He said, I don't buy that you have to have the best roster to make the playoffs. Like I said, Georgia and Alabama aren't playing tonight, and based off raw talent, they should be. I agree.
Yeah.
Washington is in no way the most talented team in college football, and yet here they are about to play for a national title game. And I really think they have a setup to what that's similar to what Tennessee is about to have. Star stud quarterback, really good wide receiver with Roma Dunzi, or however you say his last name. And you know that great combo. Their defense is kind of take it or leave it. And I just that I mean, to me, that's the formula for Tennessee. They went and did it. And they luckily for them, they played in an easier league than Tennessee, but they beat Oregon twice. Obviously, they beat Texas, and they've done it all season long. And so I 100% agree you don't have to have the best roster, without a doubt. And so this is it. You got to take advantage. So please, I don't like putting it that way, but like, do mortgage the house. Drop the dollars, do what you got to do to get the dudes in here, because now is the time. Even if you're coming off a 9-4 season and you know, like you see Kiffin's mortgage in the house, you can tell, and he's coming off 11-2, you know, you're coming off 9-4, but I think you're going to have a roster that's very similar to Kiffin's talent wise. And so, and you probably, you know, you'll have a better quarterback most likely. So just my opinion. We'll see what they do. But we got to finish with a little bit of basketball, and then let's go watch this national championship game. Zach, should be fun. Well, I will say that. Anything else with football before we move on?
No, I mean, that's the focal point right now. Get this offensive line figured out. if you can get Hurd from LSU, if you solidify that left guard spot, I think the tone surrounding this team completely changes. And I think it's been a little too negative as it is. Like, yes, it's something that has to get addressed, but that's just one aspect of this team. The rest of it's, I mean, think about how excited we were just a week ago after watching them, beat Iowa 35-0 and watching what Nico could do with a banged up offensive line against one of the best defenses in the nation. Not going to play that many defenses that are that good. The good thing about this offense is the offensive line doesn't have to be all world. You need good offensive linemen, obviously. Having Darnell Wright was huge. You probably don't beat Alabama without Darnell Wright shutting down Will Anderson. So, yeah, it is important, but you can get by with less talent there than maybe some more traditional offenses.
Agreed. We'll see what happens. Get Hurd, please. That's all I ask. I don't know if this is true. Vol Fan for Life said T-Mac is committed to Louisville. I was looking to see if there had been anything official there. Obviously, everybody's kind of tweeting about the national championship game, but
yeah, and that's Diego hilarious. Pound's officially committed to Ole Miss. I don't know if anybody mentioned that earlier or not, but that
I think somebody said it in the comments. Okay. Yeah, and yeah, hopefully Tyler Barron leaves for Louisville too. That would be funny and really good for Louisville because they're a pretty decent team this year.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's talk a little basketball to finish this off before we go watch the title game. Talk about it right after I tell you about Zen Sports. We've been talking about Zen Sports all season long. It is the sports betting app that's exclusively in Tennessee. And when you sign up for your Zen Sports account, you'll receive up to a $1,000 no danger first wager. When you place your first bet in Zen Sports, you can be reimbursed for the amount of your bet up to a $1,000 maximum if the bet loses. But there's even more good news. Zen Sports is rolling out its brand new VIP rewards program. The VIP rewards program will allow top tier customers to earn more bonuses, comps, and perks, but it's by invite only. So if you feel that your Zen Sports play qualifies for VIP consideration, check out the program at zensports.com/VIP. No other sportsbook will offer you a premier sports betting experience with 24/7 top tier customer support and faster withdrawals like Zen Sports. What are you waiting for? Get going and download their app at zensports.com today. Zen Sports betting just got better. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. You must be 21 or older in Tennessee to bet. And speaking of betting, I'm going to guess that a lot of people did not see the absolute beatdown that Tennessee put on Ole Miss. Speaking of Tennessee and Ole Miss... The fortunes are a little more in Tennessee's favor on the basketball court. I don't know what the line was before that, but Tennessee just laid the absolute wood to Chris Beard and the Ole Miss Rebels, 90-64, and it was over before it even started, frankly. Tennessee was up by, 10 at the half, 9 or 10 at the half. Shooting lights out. And this was all with Dalton Knecht only scoring 8 points. And this was another, I mentioned this in the win over NC State. It was ugly. This one wasn't ugly. I mean, you cruise to a huge win. But this was a win where you find out more of who you are because Dalton Knecht didn't score a crazy amount of points and you really spread it out. It's a Guy Ziegler, huge game. I think you saw Jemai Meshack really show his complete value in this game. We knew that he's an absolute defensive dog, but he's scoring points in this game too. It's exciting. Conference play has started. What do you think of that Ole Miss game, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the kind of game that it's kind of like Chris Beard said after the game, like that looks like a Final Four team.
Yep.
And a lot has to go right. You got to be able to do that, every night, basically in March when it gets there. But the fact that, Adu goes out there and kind of carries the load and Dalton Knecht isn't the guy that you have to rely on, because there's going to be nights coming up where Dalton Knecht has to have another one of those 35 point games to win. Like, he's going to have to be the guy that can get a basket late in the game when nobody else can, your go-to guy. Like, he still has to be that guy, but he doesn't have to be that guy every single night. And we saw that against a really good Ole Miss team. Well, we don't know how good this Ole Miss team is.
Yeah, they might not be that good.
A team we thought, but they have a good coach. Like, we do know that, yes, for everything that happened at Texas, that Chris Beard is a good coach. So, who knows how they rebound? We'll see, but they were probably inflated a bit because of their softer schedule. But still, a quality opponent that we didn't really know how this game was going to go. This wasn't a game that we went in saying, like, we didn't even know if Tennessee, if things break a certain way, Tennessee could lose this game type of matchup. And they go out and they blow them out and they get up at halftime and then they outscore them by like 17, I think, in the second half. I mean, those are the type of performances that give you confidence that, okay, they got through that stretch in November where you lose three games in a row to three really good teams. Clearly, you learned something from that. You became a better team because of that. I mean, you got to keep it going here, but I mean, you couldn't feel any better about Tennessee basketball, I think, right now than after that game. That's just, you couldn't.
If two things happen in any given game, one, Jonas Adu or Tobe Awaka, that's one or the other, preferably both, play well. That's one element. If your big guys play well, and then two, you make three-pointers. That's Tennessee not only will win almost every game they play if those two things happen in a game, but they might like wipe the floor with most of the teams that they play if that ends up happening. They made 11 threes in this game. Jonas Adu, 24 points, 10 for 19 with 10 rebounds. Beautiful double-double from him. Yeah, it was absolutely massive. I said that at the beginning of the season. I think I tweeted it where I said that the real difference maker here would be Adu turning the corner. It truly would be. Because especially since he has a little bit of shooting range and you get a guy with that kind of length that can maybe make a three-point mid-range shot, something like that, where he's a threat all over the floor. He's never going to be the strongest guy. He's a little bit of a string bean. But at the end of the day, he could be a powerful weapon for you. Case in point right here. And if he turns the corner, that's it. Because it seems like with your guards on any given night between Connect, Ziegler, Vescovi, Josiah Jordan James, Gainey, between all of those guys, you're going to get offensive production. That seems like almost a given at this point. Like somebody in that group is going to find a way to drop in 20-ish. But with Awaka added in, that's the next level. That's where you go and you play like a Purdue and you can really compete against a team that's really maybe not the best matchup for you. It would be massive.
I think that performance from Adu really shows the value of Rick Barnes as a coach. He challenged Adu, and it's something that a lot of coaches did. Barnes is a tough coach. Like we've seen like the Grant Williams stories talking about how some of the workouts with Rick Barnes and how it was just he's constantly on him, just to the point where he wanted guys to quit. Like that's what he was trying to do. He's a tough coach to play for. But he can get the absolute best out of players if they, if they're willing to do what Barnes asked of them and to kind of reach those heights. And he challenged Adu, and you saw the result. You got to keep it going moving forward. But for all the talk about Barnes, that is why he's able to consistently put good teams on the court for as long as over 30 years now at this point, or about 30 years.
The consistency is incredible. And this is true. I actually had this conversation with some friends of mine this past week. If he were to reach an Elite Eight or a Final Four, he's the greatest coach in Tennessee basketball history. He doesn't have to win a national championship to be that. I mean, the standards overall are on the lower side with Tennessee, just given the history of that program. He would be the greatest coach to ever coach Tennessee. I mean, he really has an argument now already. Bruce made an Elite Eight. I would like to get at least there in Barnes' time, please. I think this team is probably, all things considered, his most capable. I think the Grant team had a really good set of dudes between him, Admiral Bone, Kyle Alexander. I mean, it was really good. But this one, just the set of dudes that can go off on any given night and be the star for you, it's more guys than they had on that Grant team. Now, Grant is better than any individual dude that you have on this squad, but I think the whole here is probably better overall. And so there's really no excuse as far as that goes. Your next game is against Mississippi State. It's one of those, it should be a 10-point win. You go to Starkville, to the Humphrey Coliseum. It's never easy to win there, but it's a place where Tennessee has had success under Rick Barnes. And so I keep winning, keep rolling along, because this team, seriously, man, it really has the potential to be special. It's, you know, if you got Adu and Connect all rolling with the way that Triple J's been playing, and Vescovy and Ziegler really finding his groove, like, it's all just, it could be chugging by the end of this season. I think obviously an SEC championship should be a goal yet again, as it has been basically every season with Barnes. And then, yeah, it's got to be a Final Four. That has to be where you're looking, barring any injuries, everybody, you know, knock on all the wood, but it's all there for this basketball team. That's it. Let's go watch this national championship game. Zach, anything else for the people at home before we bounce?
No, let's go see if the former Vol commit Michael Penix can get it done against Michigan.
Yeah, there's been a lot of tweets about that, about how
Jeremy Pruitt's defense. It wasn't Jeremy Pruitt's fault. That's Tyson Helton's fault. Pruitt was going to honor the commitment. Helton, and if you hire an OC, you're a defensive coach, you got to let him have his guy. And there's, you know. So you blame Tyson Helton really for that one. Not like he would have been around at Tennessee anyway. I mean, we're all kidding ourselves, right? Like JT Shrout left, Brian Maurer, Harrison Bailey was a bust. We lived the Jarrett Garantano, Taylor Chris. I mean, how many quarterbacks did Pruitt have in 3 years? It's wild.
Revolving door.
They would have not got the best out of Michael Penix.
Yeah, no doubt. He wouldn't have won a national championship at Tennessee. And I'll say, yay. Go Huskies. But really, you know, go Michael Penix Jr. Yeah, I want to see success for him. It's a really cool story overall.
For sure.
In a general sense, really cool. And yeah, it'd be fun to see them win over a big program like Michigan. So Charlie Burris, Zach Reagan, thanks so much to everybody for watching. Now you can go watch the other much more inferior college football national championship pregame shows. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for watching again, for commenting, everybody. You know, we love you all. We couldn't do this show without you. We appreciate it. And we will talk to y'all next week.
See you guys later.